Tonight I want to talk about something the Holy Spirit laid on my heart when I was praying in my chair a couple of days ago. I want to talk about producing fruit. So take out your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis. We're going to start tonight in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to move around a little bit, but we're going to start in Genesis 1 this evening. So you shouldn't have very far to turn. So Genesis chapter 1, we're going to begin to read at verse 11. Now, we're going to jump right into the middle of the account of the creation. But God is doing a lot more here in this account that we are reading about than just creating a planet. God is establishing order. Everybody say order. God is establishing laws upon which His entire creation will operate. Laws through which we will live our lives. And so in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 11 it says this, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind." Everybody say according to its kind. "Whose seed is in itself on the earth." So there's God created trees to produce fruit according to their kind, and that fruit also contained within it seed or life to reproduce itself. And so in verse 12 it says, "And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good." Well, we know that the production of fruit is not just limited to the realm of agriculture. The Bible teaches us that fruit is produced in the spirit realm as well as the agricultural realm. Fruit is produced in and through our lives in this world that God has created for us to live in. And one of the truths that we need to know regarding the production of fruit is that just like it happens in the agricultural realm, fruit through our life is a product of nature. It's a product of nature. And here's what I mean. When I'm talking about nature, I mean the basic or inherent features of something. I'm not talking about all the trees and all that stuff that's out there, the air and the water. But what I'm talking about when I'm talking about nature is the basic or inherent features of something. Fruit is a product of nature. We understand that agricultural fruit comes from that world out there and is a product of what we see out there. But this also applies to the life of you and me. Look at the scripture that we just read from Genesis. Let's think about that for a second. It tells us that God created agriculture to produce fruit after its kind. Okay? Now, that means that you don't go get grapes from a sycamore tree. And that you don't get oranges from a pear tree. You don't get life fruit, fruit that's produced in our lives. You don't get life fruit from a source whose nature is not conducive to the production of that type of fruit. Okay? So you're not, just as you're not going to get a pear from an orange tree, because the nature of that tree is, it is created to be an orange tree. It is created from its very nature and DNA, if that's what a tree has, I don't know, to produce a certain type of fruit. It's not going to produce pears, no matter how hard we pray, no matter how much we desire it, okay? It's going to produce fruit according to its nature. And you know what? We produce fruit according to our nature. Just like it happens in the agricultural realm, it happens in our lives. Let's take a look at that for a second in Galatians. Now we're going to go way over to Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 16 and then following, it says this, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. Now, let's jump down to verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Or in the New International, it says they're obvious. Okay? Where the nature of the flesh is thriving, then a certain type of evidence is going to be produced through the nature of the flesh. What is that? These are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Now, all those are sexual terms. All those first four are sexual. Two of them come from the same Greek word, porneia, adultery and fornication. Uncleanness is just sexuality that's against nature. Lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So in this passage, we get some baseline information, and we also get a pretty good snapshot of the nature of the flesh and what fruit the nature of the flesh produces. Okay? Now, in Galatians chapter 5, if you go on down to verse 22 and 23, it gives you a snapshot of another nature and the fruit it produces. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we get a picture there in the scripture of two natures and what those natures produce. So what can we learn from these scriptures? I want to look at a few things that you can learn from it. First thing is, the flesh cannot produce fruit that's contrary to its nature. In other words, the flesh is going to produce what flesh produces. And we read that whole long list. The flesh is not going to be able to produce biblical love. The flesh is not going to be able to produce a biblical joy. It's not going to be able to produce patience and gentleness, such as is uncorrupted in that which comes from the heart of God and produced by the Holy Spirit. If you're in the flesh, you're not going to be able to live a life that's pleasing to God. Your life is going to produce fruit. Now you say, well, you know, people that are not saved can love. Yes, they can love. They love those that are important to them. But as far as loving an enemy, it's outside the bounds. Okay? The flesh can't, because of its nature of selfishness, cannot produce that type of love. That type of fruit is not a product of it. So if we are giving way to the flesh and letting the flesh nature rule our lives, we're not going to be able to produce any type of spiritual fruit. Say, okay, I got that. Now let's go to the next thing. Okay, this is the next thing. The Spirit cannot produce fruit contrary to its nature. Okay? I used to, and I've told you all this before, but I knew someone one time that lived their life with this type of credo. This was kind of a motto that they had. At that point in time, and I don't know if they still do, but at that point in time, they had this motto about their life. A man of God is a man first. All right? Well, what you're saying, when you're saying that about your life, I understand that I'm a man. I understand I live in a body of flesh. Okay? But that type of motto is just basically saying you can expect the fruit of the flesh out of my life. And if you see it, don't be surprised. Now, I agree that each one of us is growing and learning, and we're not perfected yet. But When somebody is telling me something like that, what I understand they're telling me is, I reserve the right to produce fruit after the flesh if that's what I want to do. Or if that fits the situation in my estimation. Well, the Spirit, okay, cannot produce that type of fruit, and we really do not have any excuse for allowing the nature of the flesh to produce the fruit that the nature of the flesh produces in our lives if we're born again. Okay? Because the root of the tree, when Jesus was talking, or well, John the Baptist was talking, when people were coming out to him before the appearance of Jesus, John the Baptist said, the axe is already being laid at the root of the tree. And that tree, which is, does not produce fruit, is going to be cut down and cast away. Right? So I can't walk around saying, well, I'm a man first and then a man of God second. I'm a man of God. My whole identity, my whole life source is drawn from that nature. If something reveals itself in my life, if a fruit appears in my life that's not of that nature, then that's my fault. Okay? I am allowing those things to happen, or in some form or fashion, or I'm under the control of the flesh in some form or fashion in my life, in an area that I need to be set free from. Okay? So, what else is the scripture saying? The fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh work to destroy each other's fruit. Okay, so if you're going to walk around and give the flesh nature an opportunity to work in your life, then you don't understand. You have ignited a war inside of you. You've ignited a war. Rather than stopping a war and letting a war be at least letting the authority of Jesus be seen in your life, you're allowing the life of the flesh to come in and begin to produce fruit. And when you do that, those things are going to war against each other. The Lord told me one time, I was deciding what I was going to do about a situation. I don't even remember what it was. But I had one option. I had the option to sin and choose sin in it, and that's what I wanted to do. Because I was messed, I was angry. Or, you know, or I had a need or something. I felt like I had a need, and I felt like that, you know, that was a way that could potentially be met. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you know what? If you choose to partake of the flesh, the fruit of the flesh, he said, every time you do that, it gets easier to do that. In other words, it becomes second nature to you, and then it becomes predominant nature to you if you keep on doing that. Okay? And so, those two fruits war against one another and have no interaction with each other, and they will work to destroy each other's fruit. And finally, the fruit of the flesh is easily identified because of its nature. I just threw that one in because I see a lot of people, kind of like I said before, excuse their fleshly desires, and they'll excuse them for some reason. Okay, but when you see fruit that comes from the flesh, then you can't excuse where it's coming from. It's easily identified where that is coming from, right? That's coming from the flesh, all right? Now, there are other things that can be learned from that scripture, those scriptures, but let's stop there for now. Fruit is produced after the nature that is predominant. Okay? And this makes it clear what is controlling you at any given time. The person who continuously, everybody say continuously, continuously produces fruit after the flesh is living in at least an area of their life, is living outside the kingdom. Okay, what's the kingdom? It's two words put together, dominion of king. So if I'm continually producing fruit of the flesh, then I'm outside of the dominion of the king. All right? The only way to produce fruit is by the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to nail that home tonight. Nature produces a certain type of fruit. Whatever nature is living within us will produce that fruit. If you want to see the fruit stopped, you're going to have to see that nature destroyed. It's going to have to be killed, or else it's going to continue to produce fruit after its kind. Now, there's also, we also produce fruit as a product of something else, and that's called process. Everybody say process. Now, what do I mean here? A series of actions or steps that are taken in order to achieve a particular end. All right, fruit is also produced in our life as a product of process, and here's what I mean. A wild fruit tree. Now, when I'm talking about a wild fruit tree, I'm talking about if we were to be walking through a field somewhere or through a forest somewhere and we ran across a wild peach tree out there. I don't know how it got there, but it just got there. It's not in an orchard. It's not on somebody's farm. It's just out there growing wild, okay? A wild fruit tree has the right DNA to produce fruit. Would everybody say it does? It's a peach tree, right? But consistency is its problem. Okay? Without the care of a gardener, pests, conditions, neglect, and other situations can cause the tree to fail to produce or even die. So you can have the right spirit within you to produce the right type of fruit and still not produce it. There is a process. Everybody say there's a process. There's a process in which God produces fruit in our lives. One of the processes he uses, and this is not my main one tonight, but one of the processes he uses each other in our lives. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens his friend. Okay? He uses us in our lives to produce fruit. He also uses another process, and it's found in John 15. Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is who? The gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, that seems harsh. But this is reality. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit. Now notice the branch that bore no fruit. Let's go back to it for a second. It's in the true vine. But it's not bearing any fruit. And because it's in the true vine, it's expected to bear fruit. It's expected to. The gardener has taken great care to ensure that the right vine has been planted. He has cultivated that vine. He has watched over that vine. He has taken care of that vine and has got it to the place that it is, not so he can just sit on his front porch and look at it. Oh, isn't that a beautiful grapevine out there? It's with the intention that that vine is going to produce fruit. That's the whole purpose of all the work that the Father or the gardener has put into that vine. It's the purpose of it. Because he is looking at it to produce fruit, for it to produce fruit. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Verse 4, remain in me, this is Jesus talking, just as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Now that idea of remaining is more than just hanging on. That's being vitally grafted in. That's being subject to the work of the gardener. That's saying amen to the whole purpose for which this vine has been planted. That's submitting to the process of production of fruit. Everybody, you understand what I'm saying? No? Everybody sure? Do you get it? Okay. All right. Good. So you can have the right spirit and still not be producing fruit. When I say the right spirit, I mean you can have the Holy Spirit within you and still not produce fruit. Such a situation would go unconfronted in the wild. Okay? So out there we see that peach tree out there in the wild. Whatever's coming against that thing that's causing it either to bear fruit or not bear fruit, it's just on its own, right? It's at the whim of the situations and circumstances that are coming around it. It's at the whim of the insects. It's at the whim of the wind. It's at the whim of the cold. It's at the whim of whatever is out there. And you know, it would go unconfronted. It has the DNA and the power within it to produce the right kind of fruit, but there's no one working with it. Okay? But in the garden, whatever processes are coming against that plant to keep it from bearing fruit are interrupted by the gardener. They're interrupted by him. And the gardener will prune the branch with the goal that it will bring forth the fruit that's intended to bring forth. Now, what happens when a branch is pruned? Anybody ever pruned your trees or your rose bushes or plants or anything like that? Anybody ever done that? I hated that when I was worked for a landscape company when I was in high school. And I hated it because at the coldest part of the year, actually in January, December and January, we would get our rose bushes in. That's the time of the year they would send them to us. They would come and they would not be potted. We had to pot them, okay? And they had no leaves on them, and we had to prune them as well, okay? Now, it's very cold, and that's miserable because that's outside work. At least it was where I worked. And so we had to do all that outside in the freezing cold, and trying to do that with gloves on was very difficult because it was kind of intricate work. So you had to take your gloves off. It's very cold. Your hands are cold. And bushes are full of thorns. And so it was a work that cut you all up. And I just remember that. I hated that time of year. But I noticed some things that happen when a branch is pruned. What happens? Number one, it's shorter than it was. Rhonda and I moved into our kids' house over in North Benbrook. For a season of time. And they had a rose bush on the side of that house. And man, that thing, it would grow, I promise you, that thing would grow 12 inches or more in a year. Its limbs would. It was going wild. And you'd walk out there at the time of year to prune, and it would have one branch that was so tall that it was bending over like this. It would have another one out there that's dragging on the ground because of this. And boy, I mean, that thing was exerting its will. You know, it was just growing and growing. It was ugly. Now, I'm sure it thought it was doing well, but it looked ugly, number one. And I'm sure it got its feelings hurt when I had to walk up there with the pruning shears and prune all of that hard year's worth of work off. Had to prune it back. Snip. And cut it right off. Because what looked like growth was pulling energy from the production of roses, of fruit. And so it had to be cut off. I mean, it was putting all that energy into growing tall. And it would never have very many roses on it. It might produce 4 or 5 roses, but that was it. Because it was so busy and just growing like this. And I'm sure, like I said, when I walked out to it, it was standing there with those big limbs everywhere and expected me as the gardener to look at it and go, great job. You had a great summer. You've done wonderful. Look how long and tall your branches are. This is wonderful. You've even grown over and gotten a hold of the air conditioner. I mean, it grew over and it started growing. And get a hold of that thing and grow. But instead of receiving that type of acknowledgement, I could see that it was healthy and it had potential. But it really wasn't reaching its full potential. Because his potential, what it was planted there for, whether it knew it or not, was to produce fruit, not to grow like this. And so I'd cut it back. And so when you get pruned, you get cut back. And a lot of times you're shorter than what you were before. And that can be discouraging if you're not careful. Things in your life are cut back. God's come along and sheared you off. But he's done that with the intent for you to be able to fulfill the purpose for which you were created. What's another thing that happens when pruning happens, when branches are pruned? They're cut in such a way that it works in conjunction with the entire body or the rest of the plant. Okay? Boy, I'm telling you, I mean, this little old rose bush I had, some of the branches would grow like this, out like this, but there would be three or four that just went nuts. You understand what I mean? And just went, whoa, and just grew way out there. And although they looked like they were doing better than the others, they weren't working in conjunction with the rest of the plant. As a matter of fact, I thought I'm going to have to dig up this rose bush because it's not working together. Okay? It's like two different bushes. It's like you got these guys that are out here with their own agenda and these guys down here that have their another agenda. And so the gardener will come along and he'll cut it in such a way that it works in conjunction with the entire plant or body of Christ. One long branch may look like it's prospering, but if it's not working well in the context of the goals of the body or the plant, it's cut off. We're not lone rangers. Okay, this isn't about us. Okay, this is about us producing fruit, kingdom fruit, in the context of being together. I think we forget that as churches sometimes. I think we get so invested in us producing fruit as a church, we forget that we're part of a big plant. We're just one branch on a gigantic plant. And man, we're just like that rose bush. I mean, here you are and the plant looks like this, and then there's one branch. It's like, wow, way out there. And that one branch may think it's doing real well. Why? Because look how much I grew this year. But the Lord's looking at that entire plant. The gardener's looking at that entire plant and making decisions based upon the health of the entire, not one branch, the health of that entire bush. And he's going to work on that in such a way that the entire plant produces fruit. And if we were to be honest as a body of Christ, sometimes we don't want other parts of the plant to produce fruit. We only want our branch to produce fruit. Honestly, that's the way we get sometimes. I just want my branch to be real heavy with fruit, and I want the rest of the tree to be bare. Do you know what? That is indicative of a sick plant. We are part of a body. We're part of a bush. We're part of a vine. Let's say it a vine, because that's what Jesus said. And Jesus is interested in that entire vine producing fruit, not just one branch. And he's going to work on that entire vine to be sure that the entire thing produces fruit. That's why it's not really a move of God if it's happening on one branch. It's not a real move of God. If it's a real move of God, it's happening over the entire plant. That's the way I feel about it. Okay? Because you can only get so much fruit off one branch. God cares about the body and the health of the body. Now, what else happens when a branch is pruned? Signs of old fruit production are eliminated. Pods that once produced fruit but are now dead are cut off to make room for future fruit. The past glory of a plant does the gardener no good. He's looking to the present and the future. Boy, that plant's always produced well for me. It's always done well. Praise God, he's happy about that. But he's happy about that with the expectation that that's going to continue. Okay? Now, one thing I had to do, and Rhonda would do, with that rose bush we had, is you'd have to walk out there because the rose buds would shrivel up and they would die, and you'd have to go out there, and you could see it had produced fruit before, but you'd have to go out there and go, that was the past, and you had to break those off. Throw them away. It was the past, okay? The gardener is working on us, and this is a hallelujah, praise God, because we're a part of a vine that produced a lot of fruit in the past. Remember the book of Acts? You read about this plant and how great it produced. But praise God, and while that's wonderful, the gardener who's working among us is interested in the present and the future. Ah, that makes me feel better. He's not looking at the glory of the past. He's working to see things produce fruit in the now. Amen. I'm glad of that. Hallelujah. Yes, that is good. Praise God. Yes, that is good. All right. What happens when a branch is pruned? What else? Elements that bring length but not fruit production are cut off. Okay? Now, here's what I want to say about this. I said, we've already talked about that. Okay. Well, here's what I want to say. After I would prune these long branches, I could look at the ground and see them laying there. Everybody understand? Snip, down. Well, guess what? There was leaves on those branches, sometimes a lot of leaves. How can cutting off green leaves, which produce fruit for the plant, help in fruit production? I'm sure the plant thought that when I did it. Look how many leaves are on there. I'm drawing sunlight through those leaves and that whole thing of photosynthesis. You're cutting off my chlorophyll, man. Or whatever that's called. Was that it? Okay. You're cutting all that off. And what I'm trying to say is, once again, this process that we're involved in the production of fruit, is overseen by the expert, and that we're not it. We're not it. And sometimes parts get cut off that we don't understand. We just don't get it. We look at that and say, well, that looked like, that's good. That's a good thing. And sometimes the gardener is working in such a way that he might cut off some parts that we think actually should be used to help the plant in the future, but he's looking and saying, in the future, this isn't going to help this. For instance, as a body of Christ, we could get so focused on one thing that we forget the other things in the Bible. Okay? So focused on doing one part, and maybe when that one part's really growing and really producing fruit, but we're really lacking in the other areas. The Lord may cut that off at some point in time and say, hey, that's great, but the rest of the plant needs to grow. Okay? All right. What happens when a branch is pruned? Let me just say this as a synopsis. Growing long and tall is not the goal. Fruit production is. If your long and tall stature is nothing more than something to look at, it'll be cut back so you can produce spiritual fruit. Okay? All right. And that's kind of a synopsis of everything. A great vine from which they got great jelly and wine and lots of other things was not a house plant. It's not, what do you call a plant that's there? It's not a plant for aesthetics or something to sit and look at. Okay? It is a plant that's created to produce what? Fruit. To produce fruit. To produce fruit. And how it looks is not the first priority. Its health is the first priority, and the production of fruit. And that ought to be, that makes me happy because, you know, I've got a little bit of a belly and not as much hair, and, you know, and I don't spend as much time at the gym as I probably should. I don't, let's rephrase that. I don't spend any time at the gym. How many of you guys read the stories every day of how many people die working out? You read that? This guy was running, he died. This guy was in the gym, he had a heart attack. Well, the dude lately, Alan Thicke, man, he died playing hockey. It's dangerous to work out. Puts a strain on your heart. Man, some of my relatives lived a long time, ate raw sausage. My grandmother, she'd be making, cooking sausage for breakfast, and she's eating it raw out of the thing. She didn't really live that long. She lived in her 70s, you know? I just don't work out at all. So, you know, and I thank God for that. I'm not one of these type of pastors that's spiking their hair and trying to get a V shape and trying to look like, I need all of you to look like me. You know, I'm the epitome of success. And so, but because I'm pudgy and I'm, you know, and that's no excuse for slovenly behavior. but you know, the good news is the look of the plant is not as important as the fruit it produces. So praise God. So that includes all of us. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for that. Now, the last thing I want to talk about tonight is seed. We read that a plant will produce fruit after its nature, right? And it will not produce fruit contrary to its nature, okay? We found out that a production of fruit is not just a happenstance thing, but in the kingdom of God, because God tells us, Jesus told us, we're not a wild tree growing out somewhere. We're in a garden, okay? We're growing in a garden. And so therefore, the production of fruit is also a product of process in our life, a process that God does, the gardener does in our life. Well, one of the other things we need to remember that was spoken of in Genesis is the plant produces fruit, but the fruit also produces something. Seed. All right, seed. Seed is a flowering plant's unit of reproduction, capable of developing into another such, not contrary to the nature, but another such plant. Okay? Now, plants produce fruit after their nature, and they also produce seed that reproduces their nature. What do you want reproduced around you? Okay? If you will produce fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in your household, then that fruit has seed in it. It has life in it. Life is in the seed. It has the ability within it to reproduce. And that gives us great desire and impetus to see that in our households and in the places where we work, that we produce the fruit of the Spirit there, because if we do, that fruit has power within it to reproduce itself where it's being grown. You understand what I'm saying? I live in a house. But I live in a part of town. It's a development. And when the developer came in there and developed the property, they always develop an ecological plan with that. I mean, they don't just build houses, but they plant trees and shrubs, and they make it aesthetically beautiful. And down one side of our road that we live on, the developer decided to plant a lot of Chinese pistache trees. Anybody ever know what a Chinese pistache is? It's a hard tree to describe. It's kind of got a long, thin leaf on it. But one of the neat things about a Chinese pistache is it'll turn all kinds of colors in the fall. Okay? And it's one of the last trees to lose its leaves. I mean, it's not an evergreen, but it's still hanging on. Well, so the developer came in there and planted all these Chinese pistache down this one side of the road. After a few years, of being what it is and being consistent, and producing the right kind of fruit. On the other side of the road, I notice that there's a long line of young Chinese pistache trees that are growing on the other side of the road. How did they get there? Did somebody plant them? No. It's a seed. The seed from that healthy Chinese pistache tree blew over to the other side of the road, landed on that ground, and began to produce after its kind. I want to encourage you. Some of you guys have been faithful to be out there and produce the right kind of fruit in your family, in your workplaces. Don't give up. Because the fruit that you are growing in your life through the Holy Spirit has seed in it. And in the process of time, and I don't know, the Holy Spirit works at that. You know, they said in that movie, Jurassic Park, life finds a way. Well, the Spirit has His way. And although we couldn't see it happening, at some point in time, seeds blew through the wind across that road, landed on ground that was conducive to producing fruit, landed there, wasn't planted by anybody, but it went down in there and it produced a tree right after the same kind of fruit that was grown across the street. Okay? Hang in there. Keep producing fruit. Trust the work of the Holy Spirit. God is going to work in your life to see that those seeds that your fruit is producing begin to come up around you. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, I understand that some of people around you, they don't like the fruit you produce. Don't like it. Don't want it. I don't care. That's not going to stop the process. All right? It's not going to stop the process. It's still going to go across. It's still going to fall on the ground. It's still going to have life in it. And at some point in time, it's going to begin to produce fruit. If it's healthy, solid, strong fruit, it will reproduce itself. Okay? So hang in there and be strong in the Lord. You want to change something in your family? Keep producing godly fruit. It will change something in your family. So let me just finish by saying this. Nature produces fruit after its kind, okay? So if you want ungodliness and the fruit of ungodliness in your family, then you just let ungodliness take over your nature and you'll produce the fruit of ungodliness and it'll reproduce ungodliness in your family. But if you produce godly fruit, it'll produce seed that reproduces a plant with the same nature as the originating plant. And I know in some of you guys' situation, it looks impossible. You say, you don't understand, Pastor. This person over here is dead set against the production of the fruit that's in my life. They're dead set against it. But you have a promise from the Father. And He said this. He said, if you ask anything according to my will, what did He say happens? I hear you. In other words, that prayer gets through. In other words, it's not just something I hear, but I'm not really listening. You know, it's like, okay, I got that, but it's not moving me. When God says He hears something, it touches a part of God. It moves into His heart because it touches a part of who He is. If you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And the Bible says that if you know He hears you, then you what? Know. A couple of no's in there. If you know He hears you, well, did you pray a prayer according to the will of God? Then it was heard. If you know He hears you, then you also have the same assurance. Thank you. If you have the assurance that that prayer has been heard, then you can also have the same assurance that prayer will be answered. Then you know that you have whatsoever you ask. Right? Well, if the conditions are right, you'll have that. Didn't say that on the end of that. It just said, you'll know you'll have whatsoever you ask. You have whatsoever you ask. That's the power of the miracle at work. You know what I mean? The power of a miracle at work. Something that doesn't appear it can happen in the natural happens because of the miracle intervention of the power of God. I think my mother, well, she'd probably say she never had any doubt I'd get saved. But the last day before I got saved, she was pretty desperate. And she just really got in the car and she said, Lord, she said, you said that if I asked this for my son's salvation, you would save him because it's according to your will. All right? Well, God, in his miracle-working power, changed the circumstances. I had been rolling along just like I was for a long period of time. Then all of a sudden, one day, God intervenes, and the whole situation turns on a dime. Where are you the day before a miracle? If you're in the will of God, then you're in a place where the conditions are being set up to bring that to pass. That's where you are. You're not in a hopeless situation. You're not in a situation where you're not being heard. You're not in a situation where it's not going to happen and God's turning his back on it for some reason. You're in a situation in which you have assurance that day is going to come. And we need to pray like it, and we need to live like it, and act like it. Amen. Okay? Because I myself, who was the object of that prayer, was flabbergasted by the changes that came to pass in one day that got me to the place of repentance. I was flabbergasted by the changes. And you know what? I didn't lose my job. I didn't get run over by a truck. I didn't get a disease. None of that stuff happened. It was just a heavy change in conviction. And God turning a switch that brought about me facing my own mortality without him. Okay? So keep on believing. Amen. All right. Okay, I think I'm going to stop there. I was going to say a couple more things, but I don't think I will. All right. So, have the nature of Christ, controlled by the Holy Spirit, and you'll produce fruit that is godly and after that nature. Be under the control of the Spirit, be obedient to the Word of God, and you will walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Okay? Submit to the process and realize there is a process in your life to produce fruit. You are not some tree sitting out here down on this tree line here fighting for your life among a bunch of other trees and fighting against nature and fighting against everything else. You are in a place where a gardener is working with you. And he has a process in which he works, and you must have confidence. If you don't understand what's going on, you got to have confidence in the gardener. Okay, you got to have confidence in the gardener. And finally, remember, if you're producing godly fruit, then you're also producing seed that will reproduce itself. Okay? And you will see it at some point in time. Okay? You will see it. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for everything. We give you praise for your control. We talk about the sovereignty of God a lot, but Lord, it's a real thing. You are sovereign in your ways, in such a way, Lord, that you are going to respond to your word. You will do it. And God, you will act according to your will when your children stand for your will to be done. So God, we thank you for your spirit, which has changed our nature into a nature of godliness. We thank you that through that nature we can produce fruit after the kind of the tree that we're in. We thank you, Father, that there is a process of care with the goal of health and fruit production taking place in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that with that fruit being produced, that fruit also has seed within it, which will reproduce itself after its kind in the lives of other people. So God, we give you praise, we give you thanks, we trust you, we trust your spirit, and we trust the process. And we know that there's life in the seed. And so we give you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen.